Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
You see, that last year when I started on staff here and became the youth pastor, we decided to make a whole bunch of changes to the youth programs that we run here at the Paradise campus, and decided to shift things around so that the teenagers in the church could be committed and reconnect more strongly with church and the services that that church provide. And as part of that, we made the move so that youth can be in here on Friday nights and can bring the faith and the fun atmosphere to the service, but also that we would move our normal youth program to Sunday nights. So it means we can have the whole church to ourselves, so we have the best production and the best access to the resource and the rooms that we have to pull off the best youth programs. And you know, during that stage of transitioning all that, I kept saying this phrase, and I spoke it to our leadership team, and I spoke it to the teenagers in the church, in the youth ministry at the time, and I kept saying that I was believing that it was a game-changing season for us as a youth ministry. And as I spoke that out, we've seen great fruit and great things happen in the life of the youth ministry here at Paradise Campus, but I actually feel like it's what God's doing in us as a church at the moment, that it's been a game-changing season for us, and what we've been praying for and investing and believing for God to do for many years, that we're starting to see a move of the Holy Spirit, that what God's doing through our worship and the touch of heaven, that the testimonies and the power of God moving in people's life and us corporately as a church, but also us personally, that it's been a game-changing season for us as a church. And tonight I want to share on that thought, game-changer, game-changer. You see, when we go through life, it's very easy for us to contemplate every situation we face and in every moment of every day and in isolation from everything else. And as we experience the moments in life and each day and each week and the challenges that it presents, it's easy for us to put those situations and circumstances down to wins or to losses in our life, depending on how that situation goes for us. And as a result, we can kind of keep a bit of this internal scorecard of how we're traveling in life as a result. I kind of want to give you a bit of an example of what I'm talking about tonight. Bit of an example, bit of fun, right? You see, we wake up in the morning and we go about our morning business and we realize that we need to go to the shops, right? We need to go to the shops because we need to buy something. And we go to the shops and find the item in the shopping center. But as we get that item and we go to the checkout and the checkout chick scans that item that was labeled as $5 in the aisle gets scanned for $3.50. And we think we're winning. We think, man, that was made my day. Imagine our mind starts running with the possibilities of, man, with that $1.50 savings, imagine what I can do. Man, I tell you, today has got off to a great start. And all of a sudden on our scoreboard, we think, yes, that's one to the winning side for today. And we leave that the supermarket. And as we drive out, we try and turn out of the car park. And at the moment we turn out of the car park, someone cuts us off. Someone cuts us off and there's almost an accident, and now I'm ticked and I'm angry because someone's cut me off, and it means I'm stuck in a red light now, so I might be late to my next appointment. And I'm frustrated, and that really annoys me because I don't want to be late and I don't want to have other people think I'm late and I'm not committed, but someone cut me off, I missed the green lights, and now I'm stuck in a red light in traffic, and I thought I was winning today, but now maybe I'm losing again. Maybe the scorecard isn't going so well to me. And We our next appointment is that we have to go to the airport. So we're going to the airport to pick up one of our friends and one of our family members. And as we're at the airport, we get to the security line. Now, please don't tell me I'm the only person who does this, but as you get into the security line, you play that game to try and figure out which line is the fastest lane, because who knows that the security people, they have no sense of urgency whatsoever about their job, right? So in your head, you get into a line and you're trying to figure out which one's the quickest line, and you realize that you need to move lines to get through quicker. But then you play that game where you remember the person in front of you and you try and make sure that you beat them to the other side of the security line. So now you're moving into the quicker line and you're watching where this person is, and it's this internal game inside of you. Is that person going to beat me? Am I going to beat them? Who's going to win? And as you get to the other side of the security line, you look back and realize that the person who was in front of you in the original line you're in hasn't gone through security yet, and now I'm winning again. I'm back on top of my day, and I'm feeling good. Maybe today's gonna be a good day, and we collect our friend at the gate, and as we go outside, we're wearing that day a beautiful white t-shirt. And at that exact time that we walk outside, just happens to be the exact time and moment of the day that a bird is flying right above our heads. And as that moment that the bird flies above our heads, it decides that it needs to empty its bowels onto us. At that exact moment that bird is above our head, it empties its bowels, and all of a sudden that white t-shirt has now got this smear of bird poo all over it. And that white t-shirt isn't so white anymore. And now what am I supposed to do? Imagine what people are gonna think of me, how other people are gonna look at me with this bird smooth t-shirt, white t-shirt going on. It's not gonna be so white anymore. Now I feel like I've lost a point for the day. I'm losing again. Oh, this is so annoying. And as you leave the airport, you're hungry because it's time to have food. And you go to McDonald's, right? And you decide that a 24 nugget pack for $10 is the perfect way. You can split it in two. Your friend can have half and you can have half, right? 24 nuggets for $10. And you go through McDonald's drive-thru, but because the last moment of the day wasn't so good, you think, I'm not just gonna accept that it's 24 nuggets because McDonald's always forgets something in my order. So I'm gonna count that I've got exactly 24 nuggets in that 24 nugget box. And so I'm that annoying customer that checks my order and I'm counting 24 nuggets. But not is there just 24 nuggets in my box. There's 25 and hashtag, I'm winning again. I'm winning again for the day and life is so good. As you're driving home from the airport that day, you get that message from a friend. That message that, you know, you're tempting to put your phone in airplane mode for the whole day because you've tried to not look at the scores for that game, for that team you support, because you want to watch that game when you can rest at nighttime before you go to bed. And that friend tells you the score of your favorite team and you realize that the game that they weren't supposed to lose, they lose. So it's a double negative. They weren't supposed to tell you the score and they lost. And now I'm ticked again. I'm lost. I've lost for the day. Then you got a late shift at work, so you go to work. It's hot. You go to work and that glorious moment where you walk into work and you check your emails and you realize the boss is out of the office for today. Or maybe if you're a student, that time where you walk into your classroom and realize the beautiful sight of a relief teacher at the desk. And now they don't know where you're up to, what you're doing, or what your name is. And if they ask you what your name is, you can put a fake name because they'll never know. And you realize that maybe I'm winning again today because now I've got an easy night shift where I'm gonna earn some money again. And now I'm winning again. And then I get home after a huge day. Oh, what a roller coaster it's been. And all this journey of today. And I get home and it's now midnight. I'm exhausted. Run my errands, been to the airport, fed my friend, tried to feed myself, 24 nuggets winning, and got to work. And then I get home and as I walk in the door, the house is just stinking. The cats vomited on the carpet, the dogs pooed, the house stinks. You're hungry, there's no food in the fridge, the dishes haven't been done, no one has done the washing, and all of a sudden, I was supposed to end on a good note is now that I've lost again for the day. You see, isn't it interesting that all these situations in our life that we're laughing about tonight, but you're laughing because it's true, you've been there, you've experienced that they dictate our experiences of our life, of every moment of every day. Isn't it funny to consider this emotional roller coaster that sometimes that our life can feel on with all these different things happening to us? You see, I'm also a pretty competitive person, right? Yeah, one more story and then I'll get to a Bible verse. I promise I'm a youth pastor, but I will preach from the Bible. And so recently, a group of us youth pastors and leaders were down at the beach playing beach cricket. Who loves a good game of beach cricket in the summer, right? It's good fun. Perfect 30 degree day, beautiful water, very refreshing, beautiful hard surface for the pitch. We get all set up and we start playing. There's enough of us to have two teams, right? So there's about six or seven aside. And me and my friend, in fact, it was Gavin at the time, we were partnering together and batting first. And so we start batting, we start scoring some runs. And then at this one particular shot, they throw to Gavin's ends and they hit his stumps and they claim that it was a run out. Clearly in Gavin and my eyes, it wasn't a run out. And there was a bit of arguing and a bit of biffering going on. But after that, they said, better for the doubt to the batsman, there's no umpire. So, you know, you guys are still in. Anyway, a few balls later, it goes on and now I'm facing. And the bowler comes in, very serious game, beach cricket, lots of pressure, MCG, 50,000, 100,000 people, right? And I'm facing the bowler, and the bowler bowls the ball, it bounces on the pitch, I swing, completely miss the ball, and it hits my leg. I'm plumb LBW, leg before wicket, right? I'm out. And in my head, I'm just angry, right? I don't want to be out. I don't want to just score a few runs. I want us to win. I want to get lots of runs. So I make this quick evaluation in my head. I look at the bowler, who is Pastor Daniel Menelau from the Salisbury Youth Ministry, right? If you know him, that when I make the quick evaluation, I look at him and then I look at me. And I realize there's a bit of a difference between the two of us in size, height and stature. He's a bit smaller than me, right? So I make the quick evaluation in my head, if I'm stubborn and arrogant and don't move, what's he gonna do about it? So then I'm clearly LBW, I know I'm LBW, I'm out, I should be going back. But I say, nah, wasn't out. Just look at him, what's he gonna do? Then he's just like, bro, you are clearly out. So we start arguing, right? What are you gonna do? You gonna try and move me? He realizes he can't move me, he can't do anything about it, and I'm stubborn and I'm saying I'm not out and I'm not gonna move. I've asked for forgiveness, it's okay, all right, it's all good. So, end of the day, because he can't move me, and because I was saying I was not out, I kept batting, right? And I kept batting for the rest of the game. And, you know, later on, I was considering, and I was thinking about that moment, when I'd cooled down and the game was over, I thought about it and I was thinking, what did it really matter, really? The game of beach cricket, just some mates hanging out, like in the middle of the heat of the day, I was very competitive. But did I really care if we won or lost? It was just a beach cricket. Would anyone think different of me if I scored a few less runs than I did? Does it really matter what's going on? You see, these situations that we face with what other people think of us, or these funny situations that we make jokes of as a start, it's easy for us to kind of build this internal scoreboard in our head of the wins and the losses that we feel like we're having in life. Is it really stuff that actually matters and is valuable to us? Or maybe am I focusing on the wrong things? You see, but maybe the real question tonight that I want to ask you is, do the things we concern ourselves about actually carry weight in heaven? You see, Jesus teaches into this when he talks about one of the most profound sermons that he preached in the Bible. In fact, it was the longest sermon that he preached in the Bible, and that is the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to read this from Matthew 5 tonight. It says, verse 1, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. And his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice, be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they were persecuted the prophets who were before you. See, I don't know about you, but I read this verse and it kind of confuses me. It seems the opposite to what we'd think in our natural mindset. What seems logical to us, it seems like when I read this, it seems to be the opposite. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Like, seriously? I'm supposed to consider that to be a win? Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Really? Blessed are those who are persecuted. What, I'm supposed to consider these things as being blessed? But it speaks totally against what the value system that I'm used to in my life and in this world on, here on earth. You see, maybe it's because our perspectives and values in life sometimes don't always line up with God's. You see, maybe Jesus is trying to get us to consider, what are the things that actually matter to us? What are the things that are actually important? What are the things that are actually valuable to us? See, when we record the wins or the losses in our life, is it the stuff that actually matters from a heavenly perspective? So what is Jesus teaching us is maybe the value system that we operate here on earth is maybe different to the value system that he operates from heaven. The world teaches us that I should try and have everything together. That I've got to be perfect and I've got to look like everything's perfect. And it matters about my status. It matters about the possessions that I have, my personal satisfaction, about being in control and I'm strong and I've got it all together. And if I can look like I'm winning on the outside and make myself feel like I'm winning with all these things that really don't matter, then the world says I'm winning. You see, aren't we good sometimes at making it look like we are winning on the outside compared to what's actually happening sometimes in our world? You see, you ask someone how they're going, and what's their response going to be? I'm good. I'm good. You're not going to say anything else. You're not really going to tell me how you're going. See, I got really good at being two-faced. Now you got your attention, right? So, everyone's like, what? I got really good at being two-faced when I was at KFC, right? So before I was a youth pastor, I used to work at KFC as a store manager. And I got very good at putting up one face to the customer in the restaurant for them to see. And I got good at putting up another face behind in the kitchen when all hell was breaking loose. So you can imagine it would be like a busy lunchtime or dinner rush at KFC, and there's a full drive-through and the line on front counter is out the door, and there's staff that haven't rocked up for shift. There's someone who's just called in sick and it's 10 minutes before their shift. How am I supposed to replace their shift now? And a piece of equipment's died. We're about to run out of chicken. Some person is about to complain because they have missed serviettes in their order or something like that. And it's the cookers are going, it's just super hot, the aircon isn't working, and it seems flustering, and it's I'm just concerned what's going on, I'm stressed. But as soon as I go out to that counter and serve a customer, hi, how are you today? And as soon as I leave that front counter, get the chicken down now! Why is there a wait? Anybody else? Hi, who's next? Thank you. The drive-thru's going over, what are you doing? Hurry up, the time is going off. Hi, who's next? Thank you. See, isn't this what we can be like sometimes with life? That we put this facade up about how things are going, this internal scoreboard that we're trying to present is that we're winning, but really it's not really about the right stuff. We're trying to protect what other people see of us. See, tonight I want you to consider what actually matters, what actually is valuable in life. Are the things that we regard as wins and losses actually the things that we should hold close to our heart, or that should make this emotional roller coaster what it is to be in our life? See, sometimes the situations or the things that we care about are not the things that we should carry. In Matthew 6, verse 31, it says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble for its own. See, in the middle of this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus encourages these people to not worry. But the not worry is actually about the things that matter to us in an earthly condition or from an earthly perspective. But instead, focus on the things that actually matter. Because sometimes the things that don't actually matter, the earthly treasures that we put and prioritize in our life, actually steal the joy and the peace and contentment that God wants us to live with. So do not worry. By worrying, what do you gain by adding an hour to your life? No, commit that to God and put it into his hands. See, and for us to truly gain an understanding of what's valuable and what matters in our life, we need to change our perspective tonight. We need to change our perspective. See, in Matthew, this teaching about the Beatitudes confuses us. But maybe tonight, can I suggest that maybe you're just viewing it from the wrong perspective? That as you change your perspective, you see how you're winning out of it. You see how you can regard yourself as being blessed tonight. See, Jesus changes the game in our life. And what we think matters, what we think is valuable, and what we think is important to us, all of a sudden, when Jesus comes into our life and we receive him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus asks us not to just view from an earthly perspective, but rather he asks us tonight to take a look at eternity, a look at the bigger picture of life, and then value the moments and the situations and the circumstances we face in light of that. See, Jesus challenges us to not look at it from the moment to moment of each day, but rather step back and realize that if I'm living for eternity and with that perspective, then what really matters? You see, these attitudes that the Beatitudes speak about are the attitudes that should actually influence our thoughts and behavior that ultimately cultivate the experience that God wants us to have while we're here on earth. Instead of being this emotional up and down journey, if we can see and we can have the perspective that Jesus sees, and if we can understand what God sees through every moment of every situation, and maybe this whole life game seems to be different for us. See, when I read the Beatitudes, it normally doesn't make sense, but if I change my perspective to have eternity in it, then maybe I can understand what these Beatitudes mean. See, I can be blessed when I'm poor in spirit. Really? That makes sense? Well, it's not a loss because I'm in lack of needing a savior or feeling unworthy because I've sinned too much. When I'm poor in spirit and I realize the perspective of eternity, then I realize that in my spiritual depravity, I realize I need a savior. I need someone to bridge the gap that I can't bridge. I need to realign and rely on Jesus to cover my wrongdoings and to love me. You see, when I can be blessed when I'm meek. It's not a loss because I'm not relying on myself to be confident or charismatic or strong and seem like I've got life together. But in fact, when I'm meek, eternity's perspective teaches me that I can come humbly before a high spiritual authority. And life is not just in my control, but as I commit and surrender to him, then he can guide and direct my life. See, I realize that I can be blessed when I'm persecuted. I don't view it as a loss because people can tease me or bully me for being a Christian, for standing up for Jesus. But I realize from eternity's perspective that the knowledge and understanding of having Jesus in my life changes the game for me. there's nothing else that seems more valuable than knowing Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. You see, the keys can come. You see, if we gain an understanding of eternity, it's like this black chain represents our life. But in light of eternity, we realize that it's just one small cog of the bigger picture of the rest of my life. And instead of getting hung up on the things that I'm worried about, instead of facing the battles that I feel like I'm battling on the inside, instead of caring about what other people think and the scoreboard of what they have for me, I realize that the situation and the circumstance and this life here on earth is just one small part of eternity's picture in my life. See, eternity just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. See, we read in Philippians 3, it says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Paul encourages us that everything else, the temporary, the earthly things that we can put weight on, oh, it becomes worthless compared with the infinite knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord. See, this is how the game changes, my friends. That instead of living this emotional roller coaster of life and the ups and the downs and the things that we hold close to our heart and the things that we battle with, from eternity's perspective, it doesn't matter anymore. You're winning in life when you can surrender it to Jesus and when you can realign your values and priorities with those of God. Matthew 11, verse 28, it says, then Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. So you realize you don't have to have life together. See, I was compelled to preach tonight this message that God deposited to me, because I wanted to encourage some person here tonight that it doesn't matter if life's not together on the outside. It doesn't matter what others might think about it, your status or the things that seem to be going right or wrong in life. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're not strong enough to have life together and perfect and everything's going swimmingly for you. It's okay if you feel like you've got some of these the wrong way around. But tonight, I've come to remind you just to take a step back and view things from eternity's perspective and realize what really matters tonight. What really is valuable to your life? Because maybe you'll realize that this scoreboard that you live every moment of every day with, it doesn't matter. Maybe the scoreboard that you think other people hold in your hand, in their hand about you, it doesn't matter anymore. But instead, I understand that when Jesus is Lord, that he holds the scorecard to my life. And that Jesus says, it's not about the eternal, it's not about the earthly rather, but it's about the eternal things of this world that matter. And I understand that if Jesus loves me, if my spirit is good, if I understand whose I am, if I understand that he's got a purpose or a plan for me, no longer does it matter about the external things that are happening around me, but I can find rest in Jesus because his yoke is easy and his burden is light.
We hope that this message has blessed you. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencers.church.